Now, Amy Doyle will share with us our gospel.
The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 24. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God, one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and he put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Thanks be to God.
I have to admit that when Pastor Debbie asked me if I would preach this week while she was away, my first thought was, "I've got nothing. I don't have anything to share. How can I preach when I'm struggling so much with all that's going on in our country right now? And in our world?" During these last few months, I've felt a palpable sense of something kind of ominous, just sort of hanging there over all of us. And I've many times found myself lying awake in the early morning hours, feeling like an anxious churning in my chest. It's been really, really hard. And I know from many conversations that I've had with other people that I'm not the only one who's been struggling and having some of these feelings. And many people are also carrying, on top of this, their own personal griefs and concerns as well. How could I have anything to say that would be of help? But later, when I took a look at the gospel reading for today, something jumped out at me that hadn't struck me before. The God figure in both of these stories, you know, the woman who finds her lost coin, and the father who welcomes back his prodigal son, both of them take the time to celebrate The woman calls in her friends and her neighbors to rejoice with her. The father kills the fatted calf and holds a big party to celebrate his son's coming home. I'm sure that both of them had many other demands on their time. You know, I imagine that a woman who would look so thoroughly for a lost coin would have a lot of work to do just to put food on her table every day. And seemingly the father had a big operation to run with many hired hands. And yet, they both made time for joy in that moment. When you search for the word joy throughout the Bible, you discover that it almost always comes as a blessing in the midst of a time of trouble and hardship. So joy can be alive and present even in the midst of sadness and fear, uncertainty, and grief. Times like we're living in now. Sometimes we might feel guilty or that we're engaging in something frivolous to focus on joy when there's so much disruption and chaos and suffering going on around us in our world. But the quote on the front of our bulletin today reminds us that in a time like this, joy is an act of resistance. I would add that in a time like this, joy is as necessary to our very well-being as oxygen and water. We need its daily dose to nurture and sustain our spirits. In a time like this, making room for joy is an indispensable spiritual practice, one that fuels our passion to care mightily for our earth, for its creatures, and for our whole human family. Joy is a vital part of what's needed to heal our world. The poet Terry Tempest Williams writes, "Once upon a time, there was a simple understanding that to sing at dawn and at dusk was to heal the world through joy. The birds remember what we have forgotten, that the world was meant to be celebrated." Maybe the birds have a lesson for us. Some of you have likely watched the film Mission Joy or read the Book of Joy. Any of you read that or watched that? Yeah. Okay, both of them give an account of a historic meeting between the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa when they came together in 2015 to celebrate the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday. We all know both of these men have experienced tremendous hardship in their lives. Desmond Tutu suffered under the harsh violence and oppression of apartheid and became a central leader in bringing about racial reconciliation in the truth and reconciliation efforts in South Africa. The Dalai Lama had to flee his homeland in Tibet to escape the Chinese who had invaded and taken over his country and threatened his life. And he's lived in exile now for 60 years. Both men have deep histories of fighting against authoritarian regimes and engaged in lifelong quests for justice and self-determination for their people. And yet, you know, when you see these two men, these two great spiritual leaders in the film, their playfulness and the sheer delight that they take in life just bubbles up from them continually. Their spirits are brimming with joy, and not an easy, superficial kind of happiness, but a deep and enduring joy born out of suffering. During the 5 days that they spent together, the Archbishop and the Dalai Lama engaged in a dialogue about how to find joy in the midst of the suffering, which inevitably comes into all of our lives. And they did this to offer what they hope would be a gift and some guidance to other people. Toward the end of the book, Archbishop Tutu extends this blessing directly to the readers. He writes, "Dear child of God, you are loved with a love that nothing can shake. A love that loved you long before you were created. A love that will be there long after everything has disappeared. You are precious with a preciousness that is quite immeasurable, and God wants you to be like God, filled with life and goodness and laughter and joy." Probably the most important lesson that they offer in the book is that joy lies within us. It doesn't simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. So at this time, I'd like to invite all of us to make some room, to take some time for joy right now and right here. I invite everyone to think of an experience that you're having now or you've had recently of joy. It could be something right in this moment, like for me, looking at all of your faces, people that I really care about. Or it could be something that happened recently. You know, I can think of, you know, the other day when we had that some wonderful sunshine, just going for a walk with my dog and stopping and feeling that sun on my face. It was so, so marvelous. And so just try to think of a moment of joy that filled you. And I'm going to go around and give you the opportunity for people who would like to share, you know, what that moment of joy is for you, was for you. And by the way, I found out through doing a lot of reading on this lately that joy, sharing joy, not only helps us to tap into that experience once again ourselves and to feel it, but also it increases the joy of those who are listening to us. So it actually, we get a bonus there, does two things. So I'm going to turn this on, and for you out in the Zoom too, think about this, and we'll also give you a chance to share if you'd like. So I guess this one's on. Anybody have a joy they'd like to share? Okay. Oh, Rosanna? Oh, Scott, sorry, Adrian.
I have a joy to share from the recent hospitalization, surprisingly. I was going through a moment where I was having a lot of anxiety, and this beautiful nurse had the idea to brush my hair and put it into two beautiful braids, and it was the most calming, beautiful moment I had while I was in the hospital, and the most joyful moment I had while I was in the hospital.
Beautiful. Roseanne.
My moment of joy came this week in a doctor's office. And when I was given a mental ability test, I passed it, and I was told that I wasn't in dementia. I was just experiencing what happens when you get old.
Thank you.
We had the great joy yesterday of a visit from out-of-town family along with our local family. It's just such a pleasure to be in that circle.
Edie, Amy Bean Stoll has her hand up.
Okay, Amy.
Hi. My joy is, one, I get to take this break to help myself, but mostly my hyper little grandson who never sits still, who's 3 years old, if I can, I almost had it.
We got a glimpse of.
Well, anyways, he's the biggest joy of my life right now, and he is such a little character, and I can't remember what your name was, but you said that you were in the hospital for a few days. Reach out to me if you want. We can have lunch or something. Nobody knows this about me, but I'm going to say it. I've been there. It's been 3 years, but I've been in the hospital because of certain things. And actually being able to say that in front of all of you, boy, I must really love all of you guys. But anyways, if you would like to get together and have lunch, I know how you feel, and we can do lunch if you wish.
Okay, thanks, Amy.
During the past several weeks, I've had hyperbaric oxygen therapy for an angry bladder. And you go in four times a week. And at the admissions desk, after I'd gone in for a couple of weeks, they said, "Well, hello, Mr. Fry." And I said, "Oh, no. When the ladies at the admission desk in the hospital know you by name, you're in really bad shape." So a couple times later, I brought in some candy for them, and they just squealed in delight. And so recently, I've been giving candy to the ladies at the desk, and they've been really happy. It's really a joyful time.
So on Friday, something unusual and joyful happened. Evan called. Typically, I send him messages like, "Can I please have proof of life?" But anyway, so he called on WhatsApp, and we have a family group chat. And I said, "Ev, why are you calling?" Because, you know, I worry. And he said, "Mom, it's Friday. We survived." And his sister, Larissa, got on, and the four of us were on together for almost 3 hours. And a lot of that, especially the last hour, wasn't even Matt or myself talking. It was the two of them talking to each other. And that is so joyous to me, just to hear them talking and laughing. And they really love each other, which is kind of cool. But it was great to be able to spend that quality time even though we're not together.
My joy is the joy that you give me when you see the dog. And I named her Abby because one of the meanings is gives joy. So thank you for sharing her with me.
Thanks, Jack.
My joy is that yesterday, during one of the moments of rest, one of the volunteers, who's really good at joy, was telling a story of how when she was a girl, we were talking about collections, and she had a collection of troll dolls when she was a kid, and she's very good with children. And so I like to, as somebody who is not naturally good at joy, I have to practice joy, and I have to be around people who are good at joy. Well, she described interacting with these kids and then saying, "I know, let's give all the troll dolls a bath." And then at the end, she showed me a picture of all the little naked troll dolls hanging with all their different color hairs from the laundry line. And I thought that, like, there is no better picture for me than the troll dolls on the laundry line with their hair up.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank you. My joy comes every Sunday, including this morning. Bud and Rebecca's grandson, Zeffy, comes in every morning, and I'm Mr. Steve, and he comes in, and as soon as he comes in, his eyes light right up, and then he chases me around the building. And it is a joy just to run as fast as I can. And it's just a joy. It's just a joy.
I'm so lucky. My joy is a repeated joy about 10 times per day. So, a long time ago, Adrian and I had a couple of cats, two cats. But one cat in particular was a real, real character. His name was Punky. And so when we got our apartment, we would be coming home for a walk, I'd be telling Adrian, now watch your feet, because what would happen, we'd be opening up the door, and Punky would blast out of the apartment at full speed, go halfway down the hallway, stop, throw his ears back, and fall on his side, and start to do rolls on the carpet in our apartment building. It's a laugh riot. Thank you.
So, once a week, Thursday afternoons, I get the absolute pleasure of having a pottery lesson with my dear friend Barbara Fry. She is the best. And it's just getting my hands in the mud and being with this delightful lady and her wisdom and her kindness and her gentleness. And I am covered from head to toe by the end of it in mud, and it just feels so good. And and a lot of times she'll give me an instruction, she'll tell me how to do something, and then I've realized I've done just the opposite of what she just told me, and we just laugh and laugh. And I realize after that, I don't know, 2-3 hours that we spend together, I haven't thought about the pain in my back, I haven't thought about all the terrible things that are happening in the world. It's a joyful time. It's a break from it all, and I'm so grateful for it.
Edie, Hope Decker has her hand up.
Okay, there.
Ah, it's Andrew.
Oh,
hi, Andrew.
Hi. Okay, so yeah, I haven't used this before. This time of year, they have the peepers out, the tree frog, the sound of spring happening and continuing to happen. It's such a joyful, beautiful sound. It's seasonal, and I just love, we actually go searching for watery areas, and when the weather's like today and tomorrow real warm, it's just so beautiful. It's just music, and it's, you just can't help but feel happy when you hear that. So that's my joyful moment, and encourage people to pursue the peepers. Pursue the peepers. Peepers. Poopers, whatever. Peepers. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, this is a shared joy that Mason has when he pets his dog. That brings him a lot of joy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
A recent joy, I just discovered that my little one, who you probably saw earlier, absolutely loves my first favorite film, The Sound of Music. And I can start singing 10 seconds of it or, you know, play it, and she will immediately drop what she's doing and start bouncing up and down with a smile on her face. And that just brings me a lot of joy.
At the risk of embarrassing Christopher, my joy was hearing the spirit of one of the greatest musicians in the world, Mozart, brought to us today with your tremendous skill. My heart was filled.
Oh, it's like one more, Bill.
So as many of you know, my son Abraham's in mental hospital and recovering well. But we had a great joy, thanks again to WhatsApp, and he calls me on the home phone, and then I put the phone up next to my cell phone with WhatsApp, and he was able to speak to his sister in Mali and hear the gurgling of her new baby boy. We don't know the name yet, because you have to wait 7 days in West Africa to find out what the name will be.
Thanks, Bill.
Well, thank you, everyone. I certainly feel joy bubbling in me now, so thank you for sharing your joys. And I'd like to conclude by sharing a poem from Mary Oliver. It's called Don't Hesitate. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give into it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb.